I'm Kay Thompson, and I am with Gus Henningberg, and this is the Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio. And we are the News, Information, Education, and Global Communications Nation broadcasting, or should I say blogcasting, on Blog Talk Radio. And we are live. Hi, Gus Henningberg. How are you?
Hello, Kay Thompson. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you feeling these days?
Good.
Okay. All right, listen, you know one thing, Gus? I want to really get into some hot topics right away, especially one that's in the Star Ledger, you know, that we were talking about a lot earlier. And it says here that the Dems are back, the Democrats are back. Finally, the Democrats gave Governor Christie a black eye. What do you think about that?
Well, I didn't finish the story.
Well, what happened was, you know, Senator Richard Cody, the Democrat in Essex County, now Senator Richard Cody, you know, he was reelected, and he had been in office some time ago, left office for a while, and now he's back. And and this is, you know, a really a smack in the face or in the eye for Governor Christie, because the fact that the Republicans were so well funded. You know, and he, meaning Governor Christie, raised a lot of money across the country for his party's candidate. And so now, since the Dems have now a couple of seats back, you know, that this is putting this in a whole different light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think this is a good idea, right?
I'm with you.
Okay. Another thing that was interesting about Chris Christie, too, is the fact that, you know, says that one of the assembly people said that he's all coat and no tails. And you know one thing, it couldn't happen to a better governor because of the fact that, remember, he really smacked Sheila Oliver in the face, really. I mean, not really physically, but because of what he was saying about her and that kind of thing. So I'm really glad that we have more Dems now in the state legislature. Okay. Also, there's another thing that I think I mentioned to you that there is a film being shot, being filmed, you know, at City Hall in Newark. Are you aware of that?
A film.
And the film is Batman. And it's being filmed at City Hall in Newark, New Jersey. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
You have any comment to make about that?
No.
Oh. Well, I think it would be great if, you know, maybe they would have the Mayor Cook, Mayor Cory, I'm really tickled about this, Mayor Cory Booker play a part. I'd love to see him in a pair of tights, you know? So, but anyway, so Gus, we're going to be moving on to a number of other things. We're going to be talking about Herman Cain, you know, the African-American person running for president in the Republican Party. As a matter of fact, there's a debate on tonight. Are you planning on listening to it and seeing it?
I was not aware.
Yeah, it's on tonight. And so if you can watch that, then next Wednesday we can discuss it. How's that?
What time is it on?
It's on. It starts, I think it starts about 9 o'clock. I'm not sure. But, you know, if so if you can look in the paper or, you know, turn on CNN and MSNBC and a couple of the other stations. I'm quite sure they're going to be broadcasting it.
Okay.
All right, so I will talk to you later. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Gus Henningberg. Kay Thompson here and for the Kay and Gus Show here. And we are on Blog Talk Radio, and we are live, everyone. So just in case you wanted to call in, let me give this number right away. Sean is in the control room, Shauna Glover. Ayanna Jones is here, and Tati is here, Tati Washington is here. Now, our CEO, Tylan Washington, you say to me, I think, is he okay these days? Yeah. Okay, he's a little under the weather also. You know, everybody has, like, these flus, and, you know, I think I'm the only person who, yeah, I was getting a little something going on today earlier. Don't you dare cough in here. But anyway, our online engineer is Shauna Glover, everyone. Our studio engineer and producer is Tylon Washington. Our producers, Lisa Payne, Ayanna Jones, and Eric Payne. Eric, we're going to be getting on because we're going to be doing the political roundtable again. And then we're going to have Gina Payne Scott. And she is going to be talking about the Michael Jackson trial. And the reason why Gina is going to be calling in from California is because she was attending the trial. She had attended the trial of Michael Jackson. And Tati, you know, I'd like you to fill in, you know, to talk to, because you're a younger person and you saw Michael Jackson in a different light than, you know, us older people did. So maybe you'd like to participate, you know, in that. You think that would be okay? All right. That's Tatiana. And Tatiana is, you hear this little voice? She doesn't usually talk that softly, do you? Okay, you know one thing, we're also going to also try to talk to Congressman Donald Payne. Now I also have to tell everyone that the New Jersey African American Political Alliance, by the way, and this is a note from Donald, Congressman Payne rather, will meet on Saturday, November 12th at 10 a.m. Now this is important, not only because the meeting will take place at Rutgers University Labor Center, at the Labor Center in New Brunswick, but as you know, the Alliance is a statewide organization, and it comprises hundreds of political community and labor activists and leaders. Now, the attendance and participation are open to all persons. If you have a concern for issues and initiatives that affect your community, then you have to be there, really. During the years, we have hosted federal, state, and local officials, as well as candidates to gain insight into their positions and issues of significance. So this is a meeting. It may be even... I don't know, some people may refer to it as a, you know, Wall Street kind of gathering. Now, I'm not putting this out there as, you know, people who are, you know, involved with the whole Wall Street thing, which I agree with, by the way. But that's probably what it's going to be about. It's going to be an opportunity for people to, throughout the state, to inform the Alliance about mayor matters that are important to their communities and important to them. And it's going to require the involvement of the Alliance. If you want the Alliance to be involved in whatever issue that you have concerns about, then this is the meeting to be about that. And you should want to go there. And that is going to be taking place on Saturday, November 12th. And the meeting will take place at Rutgers University Labor Center, 50 Labor Center in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Now, some of the current issues of concern are the state of the economy, rising unemployment, substandard education, and inadequate housing. The ongoing efforts to remove African Americans from leadership positions was most recently illustrated by the attempt to remove Speaker Sheila Oliver from her position. She is the Speaker of the House. And lo and behold, Governor Chris Christie, did not treat her very nicely or very fairly at the time. So Sheila got a little angry. She is the only African-American woman who is the Speaker of the House in New Jersey, and she was treated not nicely by Governor Chris Christie. And so people are really angry about that, and I think they have spoken and made their voices heard because of the fact that of these Democratic seats that are now in place in New Jersey. I think there's two seats that the Dems have. And so we're going to find out. We're going to find out exactly what's going on. And we're also going to be seeing if we can get Sheila Oliver, you know, on the show very shortly also. So we're going to be taking a break just about right now. But just let me tell you this, that the among the issues of concern for this meeting I was telling you about is one of the issues is the failure of the New Jersey State Police to hire African-Americans. And this has been going on for many, many years. And the 10-year failure of New Jersey to implement the Amistad Social Studies curriculum. Now, I don't know what's wrong with the state of New Jersey regarding education. As a former teacher, I'm really outraged. What we're talking about is history that involves everybody. In other words, we do have a history. I mean, we want that included in American history. And so the Amistad legislation is very important in that regard. We are also making a special appeal for support of the People's Organization for Progress, and they have daily rallies in there concerning the unemployment process. So if you wanted to be involved, you can call 973-705-9171, 973-705-9171. We're going to take a break, And we're going to see if we can get the congressman on the phone, Congressman Donald Payne and Eric Payne, in the political roundtable discussion. Stay with us, everyone. We will be right back.
Oh, Lord, where can I be? This ain't America, is it? No, this ain't America. You can't fool me. This here's the home of the sheriff, not the land of the free. In America, folks don't run through the street, blood streaming from where they've been beat. And the parks are for the people, and the cops in the good old USA don't think they're some kind of gods either. No, this ain't America. You can't fool me. If you don't spit the right image, they just pull out that EDD. If they just don't like the way you look, they just law and order and trick. Just pimp and name and frame and blame. Just say the Satan's love away. And just laugh louder and louder. Nah, this ain't America. You can't fool me. No, this ain't America. You can't fool me. No.
Back, everyone. We are back. I'm Kay Thompson, and I am with Gus Henneberg. Gus is not here right now here at the studio, but he's listening in, and we were just talking to him a little earlier, and he's a little bit under the weather. Now, remember, we are the News, Information, Education, and Global Communication Nation, broadcasting, or as I like to say, blogcasting on Blog Talk Radio. And, everyone, we are live. And the number for you to call is 323-679-0906 in case you want to get in on the conversation. It is 323-679-0906. And we have a lot of things to talk to you about today. We're going to be talking to you about Herman Cain, also the Republican African-American person who is running as a Republican for the presidency of the United States. I'm really tickled about this because can you imagine the other community having a fit because there are two African-Americans running for the presidency? Some people might be falling over themselves in horror. However, Barack Obama is still out in front, everybody. According to Al Sharpton over there on Politics Nation, I don't know if you've seen his show, but you know, it's dynamite. There's only Al Sharpton can be. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about all of these things. There's a debate going on. Hello, Eric. How are you? Are you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Everything. I knew we were talking earlier about Herman Cain.
Yeah, he's a character. He's got a lot of problems, I mean, to say the least.
Can you name one?
The question should be, can you name just one?
That's not
he's
nice.
He's interesting. I'm really trying to figure this guy out because on top of, you know, we all know the sexual harassment cases he's got going against him or charges, alleged charges, mm-hmm. that these women are saying. And, you know, the fact that when he denied it initially, not knowing anybody, and then his story evolved about over the course of the day about 4 or 5 times, and then just the other day in his press conference saying he hasn't acted inappropriately with anybody anytime. I'm not sure if I'm saying the exact thing, but at all. He just left himself no kind of no room for him. Yeah, I mean, no room for him to come back later and say, wait a minute, I remember one more thing. Oh, no, I'm just really, he's an interesting character because you don't want to, it's easy for black people to look at this man and say he's kind of a sellout or because he's a black conservative and a lot of the things he believes in aren't in accordance, I'm sure, with the majority of African Americans or certainly within the position that they may be in, being that he's a CEO and a millionaire status in his life, so he's got a different experience now than the majority of African Americans in the country.
I think he's shrewd.
I'm sorry?
I said I think he's pretty shrewd. I don't think he ever really thought he would ever get as far as he has. I think he's probably in shock.
He probably is, but
he didn't expect to have all this money in his campaign.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's deeper than that. I'm sure he probably didn't expect to get that far, and since he's such a character, you know, this will be mileage in terms of his raising his popularity status, and you know, that always reflects itself or results in some sort of avenues for one potentially being able to earn an income.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, some of the things he says and the way he's been acting, I'm wondering, like, who made him a CEO of a company? Because he really, at times, I'm like, this guy was running your company? You know, I can't help but think that because he just seems really not the sharpest. And
I know
what I noticed about people that are coming from a business perspective when they run for office, usually those, from my own observation, that used to be CEOs or used to running the business and telling everybody what to do, they have a hard time moving over into politics where everything they're saying is challenged.
Yeah.
Where everybody, because everybody's not working for them. Everybody's not on their payroll. So everybody doesn't have to just say, basically, just because I said so,
right,
let it be so. And mm-hmm. Herman Cain seems to have that aura about him, you know, where he's not going to talk about certain things. And I'm just going to say, you know, when they had the little impromptu press conference where people were trying to question him when he was talking to the doctors, and he said, I'm not going to answer any of those questions today. We're walking out, and you hear people asking him questions anyway, which is what reporters do.
Yeah, of course.
And then you can hear him say, I'm not asking those questions. Wow, what don't people understand? Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, he turns.
And then he threw one of the answers right back at the reporter. Have you ever been accused of?
Yeah, well, that was when he was first asked by the man. So his kind of reasoning process and his thought process to me seems to be, I guess, when he's being challenged in that CEO mentality, and then with him being a character, one of those black guys that's a character, you know, made it on his own, and, you know, I'm going to say what I want, and I'm not like those other people. I'm bouncing out of the top of my head what can I imagine the type of person he is. But even in that, you want him to at least, man, make a decent representation of yourself, if for nobody else, then for yourself. And
not funny part of it. You know, he is making his presentation before the entire world, and it is serious. So for him to not really treat it seriously, I think is absolutely ridiculous. But there's so many things that he doesn't know. He's not well-researched. So whoever persuaded him to do this, you know, should have at least taken him through the course of how do you run for the top office. Aren't you supposed to be well-versed in most things that are important to the office that you are running for? And you see, difficulty. So it raises the question, who was really behind this? Or was it his brilliant idea? If it was his brilliant idea, then it's brilliant because he's in a win-win situation. He's going to make a lot more money. People are going to ask him for speaking engagements. And right now, I know he didn't expect the amount of money that he has in his political you know, bank right now, but the point is he does. Yeah, so his message is getting across to some people. Now, the kind of interpretation they're putting to that message may be completely different. But
right.
See what happens. But personally, you know, I don't think that he's taking the office of the presidency as seriously as he should. If he was, he would have been certainly more versed in the issue at hand, really. And I kind of go ahead. I'm sorry.
I kind of agree with you. I kind of agree with you there that maybe he didn't think it was going to go that far, and his ego and his arrogance, which is more than evident mm-hmm. when you listen to him. His ego and his arrogance told him that he could kind of, you know, BS his way through the campaign to a certain degree and
exactly.
come out. But then people started asking him based on his personality. And I guess, you know, they say he's a motivational speaker. And again, I'm wondering to who, you know, I guess to the people that are buying what he's selling in that brand of his brand of business, whatever. I guess he is a motivation, but he's one of those guys that is not above, and I'm speaking from my own perspective, and the type of African-American, successful African-American guy that he reminds me of, he's not about showing a little old-timey Negro-ness,
yeah.
for lack of a better phrase, you know, and mm-hmm. the way he comes off sometimes, that combined with the CEO arrogance and the swagger that he seems to have and be very impressed with himself.
Yeah.
Which is something that's unknown to the rest of the world. I guess if you're in the restaurant association and you're working for Godfather's Pizza, maybe he's a very accomplished guy. But to me,
restaurant association probably had to have an African American face or another diverse face, and they probably, you know, put him in there just to satisfy the racial makeup of whatever, you know, business that the restaurant association people are involved in. Because I can't see him as a very serious person, you know, involved with a lot of serious issues. But then again, maybe I'm reading him wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
let's give them, even if we give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they weren't just looking for a token to make their association look better.
Yeah.
You know, from a PR standpoint, maybe he was the best one they found in their association for that position or whatever position title he was holding.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, it's not playing like they say. If it doesn't play in Peoria, it's not playing to the flyover and to the rest of the country, because he seems a little nutty to me at times. My own personal assessment. I mean, when I asked him about foreign policy, and he said, well, I might not know all the names of all the countries and the name of Beckistan. And to me, that was a little bit of the old Negro-ness coming in on top of, like, you know, that Republican kind of thing where they felt that having too much book learning might be a bad thing. You know, what's wrong with common sense, which was kind of the argument they kind of put forth with George Bush, that it's okay to have a C student be the commander of the free world, but okay. You know, it's just it's kind of that kind of madness that says, you know, this guy is not the guy.
We're spending time talking about him, so there's something about the way he has made his presentation that really makes you laugh. At the same time, I'm incredulous. You know, I just can't believe him. I can't believe that and I can't believe his presentation in public, and I certainly can't believe some people going for it. I said, that's really amazing. I can't believe he's getting so much money, but there's an alternative to this, or there is an agenda to this, I should say, and I guess we'll find out. But, Eric, we do have to take a break. Stay with us, okay? We're going to see if we can get Congressman Donald Payne on the phone, okay? We'll be right back.
All right.
And I'm Kay Thompson, part of Kay Thompson and Gus Henningberg, and Gus is listening to the show even as we speak. So we will be right back, everyone. Please stay with us.
My gentle boy. When I hold your charm, you are mine, you are so divine, my adorable one.
You're number one.
You must ever come from heaven, because you thrill me so. You're excitable when kissed once or twice, and soon you'll be mine. Alone, you adorable one.
Okay, we are back, everyone. I am Kay Thompson, and Gus Henningberg is listening in. Hi, Gus. Hope you're feeling better, and we will be talking later on. And Congressman Donald Payne, are you there? Hello, Congressman Donald Payne, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and yourself?
Fine, thank you, fine, thank you. A lot of things going on in Newark, New Jersey, and in New Jersey, period, huh?
That's for sure, and in the entire country.
Uh-huh, I know. You know, before we get into, you know, some of the things that I know you want to talk about, I was talking about your meeting that's scheduled on November 12th, and that is down at the Labor Center, the at Rutgers University Labor Center in New Brunswick.
That's
so
correct.
Tell us about that and, you know, why people should come out to it.
Well, we'll be meeting at 10 o'clock at the Labor Center in New Brunswick, and it's the meeting of the New Jersey African-American Political Alliance. It's a group of civic people from New Jersey, political leaders, NAACPers, Urban League people, civic leaders, Board of Education members, council people, and just and labor and religious leaders, and basically just citizens who have an interest in the state and what we try to do several times a year is to have a meeting where we can discuss the state of New Jersey and what is happening as it relates to black people in New Jersey in particular and New Jersey in general. And so we will be discussing issues such as the issue raised by the NAACP continuously and highlighted this year about the lack of the New Jersey State Police to hire African Americans. They have failed over the last 10 years, and there's a lower number of African American state troopers today than there were in the past, and the number's dropping. We'll talk about the Amistad social studies curriculum that is only being taught in certain school districts, and it should be done uniformly throughout the state. We'll be talking about the chronic unemployment problems, and Larry Hamm from the People's Organization for Progress, POPS, will be there to talk about his rallies. We expect leaders from different organizations to take on the discussion of the various issues, and so we are excited about the meeting on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, we wish you a lot of luck with it. I know people are going to be coming out for it because it's so important, especially now. What's the situation with the Amistad social studies curriculum in the school system? It doesn't seem to be moving as fast as it should. So do you think it's because it's not being properly endorsed by local schools, or what? What do you think? You used to teach social studies, so give us your opinion, Congressman.
Well, I think that any time you come up with a new idea, it tends to have resistance on the part of people who will say, for example, well, I I've been teaching for 10 years, and I never had to bother with the teaching of history inclusive of African Americans. And so you find general resistance. People just dislike change.
Yeah.
I think that they have made it very convenient with the curriculum. They've got the online kind of lesson plans. A person really does not have to be an expert because the outline is so specific and so complete that they can follow it and be able to do a very outstanding job teaching the curriculum. But it's there's you know, resistance to change. There are people who feel that perhaps it should only be taught in black communities, where we, of course, know that everyone should know the history of those African Americans who helped make this country great. And so,
some people, let's be perfectly honest, some people are still stuck on stupid. Okay, because, you know, African Americans were a real part of this country. We still are. We have a history. It's not going anyplace. This is the truth. If you want the truth, then you teach history as it was and as it is. You know, I feel very strongly about that because as a former history teacher, you know, I'm very involved with this. This is extremely important. And in this day and age, there shouldn't be any question about it being taught in any school in the entire state, in fact, the entire country. And I really hope that this is going to be something that people are going to be working on and with all over the country, because you know one thing? It's about time.
You know, I agree.
How in the world can you possibly even talk about the building of this country without any African Americans?
That's right.
Drive your car. The red light was invented by a black person. The cell phone was invented by somebody black. Come on, folks, get with it. And then you have this teacher in Patterson who was referring to the little kids as potential, criminals? I'm so glad that the judge came out with that, the sentence that she did. They don't want him in the Patterson school system. I don't want him. She should be fired.
That's right. And these were first graders.
I know. Of all people, little kids, they're so impressionable. And she's going to be saying that, you know, to other people. I wouldn't want her teaching my child or my grandchild.
No, it imposes on a youngster an inferiority complex, and you're telling them already you're going to be a criminal. Some young mind that is really in the process of being developed, and you're saying you know I'm a warden here watching future criminals. That's that person should be fired on the spot.
Yeah. Now, Congressman Donald. Eric Kane also is on, and I'm going to see if Eric wants to join the conversation, because we did want to talk to you about the present political situation with Herman Kane and, you know, the Republicans versus the Democrats and all this sort of thing. You know, I'm delighted about New Jersey really smacking the governor in the face there, according to today's Star Ledger. I'm tickled about that because I don't like what he was doing with educators. It seems like anti-educator mentality.
No question about it. I think that there was a belief that he would be able to sway New Jersey voters to vote for Republican senators and legislators, but we see that he was unable to be very forceful. We actually gained a state senator, and so I think that perhaps he's going to start to reevaluate his tactics. He's already kind of slowed down on his arrogance and his bullying tactics and his disregard for citizens of the state. He's changed that tune over the last month or so or two, but I think this is going to be another wake-up call, because he's simply on the decline from the high numbers that he had early in his administration.
What a blow to him. Couldn't have I suppose anybody who's anti-educators and anti-teachers, you know, really gets my dander up.
That's true.
Now, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, Congressman, how you doing?
She's doing well, thanks.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I just want to ask you, as we're talking about the governor there in Jersey and his kind of bullying tactics, is it something that I've noticed in just my observation watching being involved and trying to stay abreast of the issues, that a lot of these Republicans now seem to have that kind of bullying tactic or kind of in-your-face kind of angry guy, and it's no, it's left over from the Tea Party, but they kind of have an angry kind of disposition with not only the opposition, but the country in general. Is that something that you've noticed? I'm sure you have, but is that something that you've noticed from the opposition a lot more, kind of a nasty disposition, as opposed to just one that says, well, let's agree to disagree. Remember that we're all here for the betterment of the country and not to score points. Have you noticed that kind of mentality as of late?
Oh, no question about it. It's the my way or the highway mentality. People have to learn how to win. They have been successful in last November. People's mood was sour, and so many people were elected primarily because of the malaise in the country, the fact that employment was stagnant, and so forth. And these newly elected representatives and senators and governors just felt that they could, that meant that they could be nasty, they could overreach. And we've seen that in a number of initiatives in Ohio. Overwhelmingly, almost 70-30 turned back an anti-union initiative from Governor Kasich. In Maine, where they made it more difficult to vote and did away with same-day registration, that was eliminated in Maine and defeated. In Mississippi, there was a far-reaching anti-women's choice question on the ballot that was just so extreme about a woman's right to choose, and that was defeated in Mississippi. And so we found that many of the overreaching and this in your face and my way or the highway or I don't want to hear it, that has proven to be a losing strategy, and the Republicans are seeing they're reaping what they've sowed, and that's a defeat.
Yeah. And what about the the ID that people are going to have when they go to vote? What is that about? They're making people come up with all different kinds of identification to actually vote. And I know there was a 90-year-old woman, I forget which television show it was on, that she couldn't even vote, had been voting all her life. It was because she didn't have some sort of form of identification, which she never had to have before, because she had originally had it. What's going on with that? That's a Republican thing also, isn't it?
Oh, and maybe 30 or more states around the nation, new kind of voter registration bills have been introduced. They've made it where you've had to have several types of ID, where you have to have a picture ID. There are all kinds of draconian tactics that have been imposed by the Republicans, and they know that it's targeting young people, college students, the elderly, people who they know tend to vote Democratic. And some states have early voting. They've reduced that. They're going to make lines very long, hoping that people will have to leave to go to work or just get so frustrated that they just leave in general. It's the only country that I know that they try to thwart voting, where in all around the world they try to encourage people to vote.
But they've really thrown off what happened. This is like war.
Yeah.
So, Eric,
I'm reading. This is just something that came off the Associated Press that I read in USA Today, and it was talking about last week how the Republicans in the Senate killed legislation sponsored by the president to spend $60 billion on building and repairing roads, rail lines, and other infrastructure to help kickstart the economy. And this has just been a series of things that they've been doing, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Oh, no question about it. They railroads are crumbling, bridges, roads need repaving, but the Republicans refuse to pass legislation that would allow this to go. And these are programs that are needed, and we're going to find people are going to be endangered by unsafe transportation, bridges, and roads.
This is unreal. Donald, we have to, Congressman, we have to go for a break right now. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. I'm Kay Thompson, and Gus Henningberg is where is he? He's at home, but he'll be back with us shortly. So stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back.
How low can you go? Death row? What a brother, no. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the untenable public enemy number one. 5 votes that freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell them that I really never had a gun? But it's the wax that the Terminator X-Fun. Now they got me in a cell, cause my records they sell. Cause a brother like me said, well, Farrakhan's a prophet, and nothing you want to listen to. What they can say to you, what you want to do is follow for now. Tell the people, say, make a miracle, keep up the lyrical. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win, check it out.
We are on, everybody. We are back. Congressman Donald Payne is on with us, and Eric Kane is on. This is part of our political roundtable. Donald, before we let you go, because I know your schedule is very busy anyway, I'm glad you're taking the time to talk, and thank you, Eric, also. Are there any other events coming up that we should know about? I mean, you have a heavy schedule. You've been in office for how many years?
23rd year in Congress, and I've been on the ballot for perhaps close to 50 years.
Wow. You hear me laughing a little bit, don't you? But listen, you're still there, and wow, that's fantastic. I mean, you've done so many things, and you travel all over the world doing all good things. So is there any other event that we should know about, that we in Jersey should know about, as a matter of fact, the entire country should know about?
Well, there's going to be some hearings coming up in the future, dealing with UMDMJ. You know, there has been an assault on UMDMJ, and we think that they want to take the medical school, the University of Medicine and Dentistry, here in Newark, and we're going to fight that we keep the hospital and that we keep the medical school here. We're at a time when the institutions of higher learning, Dr. Diner, who was an outstanding chancellor of Rutgers-Newark, was terminated by the president of Rutgers, and it was, in my opinion, because he was just advocating so much for the city of Newark, housing and programs, and he's brought more Newark students than Newark Rutgers, and has the most diverse university in the country, brought in a great business school. The law school has turned out so many black lawyers for this nation. So Newark Rutgers Law School and UMDMJ School of Medicine, where black doctors, the three doctors, many of the, matter of fact, I heard a statistic that I have to double check, but they said they graduated more more black doctors from UMDMJ than Howard Medical School.
Wow.
Recently. And so we have to make sure that these institutions, NJIT, which lost their president, that we don't allow this vacuum of new presidents coming in for people in Trenton and the governor and others to try to take advantage of the fact that there will be new leadership at these institutions and therefore be weaker than the ones who are leaving. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Education is so key, and we will fight to make sure that we keep here in Newark these institutions. We want to be sure that our healthcare institutions are strong, because that's going to be the great growth in the future in healthcare, especially when President Obama's Health Care Reform Act comes into full play. There will be a number of good jobs for people to go into the health profession. So we want to make sure that the students of Newark get an adequate education, a thorough and efficient education in their elementary and secondary schools, so that they can take advantage of college and of programs, and so that we can have them enter the workforce prepared. So these are a number of the issues that we are going to keep an eye on right here in Newark and in Essex County.
Well, we're going to help you do that here at the Ken and Gus Show also, so that you can, you know, give out information that we don't ordinarily get.
Right, and that's why it's going to be important that people come to the Alliance meeting, because all these issues will be discussed. And there are problems throughout the state. We find there's still school discrimination that's happening in some of these rural schools where there are very few African Americans. We find abuse of police power. We find housing discrimination where people are still denied housing because of their race or gender.
Yeah.
And so there's an abundant, we talk about aggressive police behavior, and so these are issues that impact on us. We are going to evaluate them and come up with a plan of action. That's one thing that we've done, is not only to discuss them, but then we come up with what we're going to do. We're going to have to also, finally, let me mention that the redistricting is coming up, and New Jersey will lose one congressional seat as a result of the 2010 census, and there will be 12 members of Congress rather than 13. Now, there are going to be 13 people running for reelection. There will be 12 districts drawn, so we have to ensure that that the Voting Rights Act is maintained, so that there is a district that should would be able to elect an African American and a Hispanic American. We will also be discussing Sheila Oliver, who was the speaker, and there was an attempt to remove her,
yeah,
where from the speakership, where her counterpart in the Senate, there was no move afoot. There was some issue or two that some of the Democrats disliked, both in the House and the Senate. However, they only decided to target Sheila in the House as Speaker, and so we're saying that we're not going to we're going to have parity. We're not going to allow you to single out and say she should be removed because she's and I believe it has something to do with the fact that she's black and a female. So we are going to stand squarely behind her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we want to make sure that people know about that meeting that is this Saturday, November 12th at 10 a.m., and the meeting will take place at Rutgers University Labor Center, 50 Labor Center in New Brunswick. And that starts about what time? About 10 a.m.?
That's right, mm-hmm. 10 a.m.
And
right,
among the additional issues of concern is the failure of the New Jersey State Police to hire African Americans. Can you imagine this is still going on 10 years after the fact that we, you know, I know when I was on WLIB, it was talking about racial profiling by the state police. So they're still in, it's still a problem. It is still
that's right.
And the failure to implement the Amistad social studies curriculum, that should not be a problem. So we all have to, you know, really support this whole thing. We are also making a special appeal for support of the People's Organization for Profit. Daily rallies, the daily rallies in Newark concerning the unemployment crisis. And they have always been on the case with Larry Hamm in the head. So, Congressman, thank you very much for this report. It has been as inclusive as the time for us allows, and we'll be calling you again within the next couple of weeks with more.
Thank you, Barry. It's always a pleasure to be on your program, and it's good hearing from you too, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you, Congressman.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Congressman.
All right.
And Eric, we are coming to the end of the program, and we were hoping to get Gina on the phone talking to us about Michael Jackson because she was there in the courthouse. She was actually there in the courtroom during the case of Michael Jackson, so we did want to bring that report. So maybe we will bring that next week. I have a feeling that this particular case is going to go on for quite a while. Do you have anything to say about that? Is there something that you want to raise?
Well, the case is over.
Yeah.
But the idea of it probably will go on. I think that people will probably, I don't know if the case is going to go on because I think that if he tries to appeal or anything, he's probably going to get the same treatment.
Yeah.
At the very least, it seems like he was negligent of his responsibility. But I think people can probably move on and begin to kind of, those people that have been able to, that are fans of Michael Jackson, can mourn him or honor him in whatever way they see fit. You know, this was another way people seem to be holding on to the tragedy of his death. So now they can possibly try to get back to their lives and emulate, I'm having trouble with that word, but emulate what he tried to do in terms of how people should treat each other, or what he tried to say in terms of how people should treat each other, particularly, you know, and trying to help children all over the world who are in need in some way, shape, or form, despite of, you know, some of the problems and things that he was might have been accused of. But still, the bottom line of children in need is something that we can all agree upon.
Of course. Well, thank you very much for participating, and we will talk to you later on, Eric Payne. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Kay Thompson, and this has been the Kay and Gus Show, and I'm now talking to Tati. I'm sorry that we weren't able to talk at length with Michael Jackson, Tati. What is your opinion about this whole thing? Ty Washington's daughter, by the way. How's your dad?
Oh, he's good. He's getting better.
Yeah. We miss you, Ty.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this whole thing? We only have about a few more minutes, but I did want to get you on.
Well, me, I like Michael Jackson's songs, mm-hmm. but I feel like ever since he died, a lot of people have been fake in a sense, because when he was alive, you know, the media talked bad about him.
Yeah.
And then when he died, a lot of people suddenly grew interest in him. And mm-hmm. was like, oh, he was the greatest. Mm-hmm. He was the best. And I feel like a lot of people became very hypocritical. And me, I've my opinion stayed the same.
Yeah, they were ostracizing him during the big case.
Right, and I feel like, why can't they just, you know, kind of leave him, let him die peacefully, mm-hmm. you know? And it's unfortunate how somebody might have taken his life, or mm-hmm. you know, I just think people should just leave Michael Jackson alone and let him be the great legend he is.
Now, you're how old?
16.
You're 16. What are your friends saying about this?
Well, it depends on what friend you're talking to, because mm-hmm. I have one friend who's been in love with Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's upset that somebody might have killed him because he's like, no.
Yeah.
And he has, like, Michael Jackson's new album, and he was excited about his tour that he was going to have. And then a lot of my friends really don't care, you know.
Yeah, one way or the other.
It's not important to them. It's not nothing big. It's not a big deal.
You know, another, just to change, not to change the subject, but just to add something, another artist passed. And that's Heavy D.
Yeah.
Who I met some years ago, you know, when he was first starting out when during my days at WLIB. So we wanted to mention that. As a matter of fact, Lisa Payne had worked with him. So he's a great artist. Sorry that, you know, he passed. You know, he's only 44 years old. That's unfortunate. But yeah, this was a big story. And a lot of people, I'm talking about Michael Jackson now, everybody was sort of glued to the set. Lots in the news and so much to talk about. So, we're going to be taking a break. Are we taking a break right now? Or are we going straight through? Shauna is on the board. Have you been doing that yourself?
Taking breaks?
Not taking breaks, but being up there doing the technical stuff and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of
because
practice.
You know a lot. You know, I know a lot about the technical stuff.
I know
stuff
a lot, especially
studio.
For 16-year-old. Yeah.
Now, are you going to be having your own show or what?
Oh, yeah. Me and my sister, Tiana,
terrific.
Who's also 16, are planning on having our own show soon to get out there to teenagers and really get them interested and involved in what's happening today in politics.
And issues and everything and really being concerned about, you know, their fellow students or fellow person, really.
Right.
Fellow people.
And I think a lot of people would be surprised how teenagers are really involved in politics, but, you know.
You think we don't take teenagers seriously?
Yes. I think teenagers kind of have it the worst almost because we're expected to act like adults but treated like kids, you know? And so it's hard for us to find where we stand and, like, okay, will they take our point of view seriously or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and when in my health class, actually, we have a lot of discussions, political discussions, because our health teacher is the U.S. history teacher.
Uh-huh.
And so he likes to talk a lot about a lot of political stuff. And we have the most intellectual conversations about politics, and you'd be surprised what a lot of students stand and their point of views, and you'd be surprised, like, this is coming from a teenager, you know, and I've heard teenagers say better stuff than adults, you know, say.
That's why I'm talking to you. So we're going to be keeping this this line. You know, this contact with teens, because I think you guys know a whole lot more than we do with something.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to listen to teens an awful lot more, because you guys, especially in this year of this high technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, I am now playing Scrabble on iPad. So,
yeah, where's the friend?
Just trying to learn. But anyway, we are coming to the end of this week's Kane Gus show. We'll miss Gus, and he'll be back with us shortly, I'm quite sure. And there's so many other things that we have to talk about. I think that we might touch on Michael Jackson for the next few weeks or something. But also, you know, I was just listening to the radio by Maria Abdul-Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been following this page for a long period of time. As a matter of fact, when I first started on the radio years ago. And it's so unfortunate to think that somebody's still in jail on death row for the silliness that happened at, you know, in Philadelphia. But anyway, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we will be joining you again next week. 8 until 9 for the Kane Gus Show. So tell your friends about it, everyone, and respond to us. Let us know what you want to hear. We also have a whole lot of information about scholarships available for teenagers and whatnot, free scholarships. So we get that information from, you know, different educators and us being former educated students. So join us again next Wednesday, everyone. I'm Kay, and Gus is listening in. We'll be back then. Through a flock of folks who celebrating at the chance to exploit our culture, exploitation, exaggeration, infatuation, no fake relations.
the work, but who gets the payment? The 40 cases of preparation, exploitation, exaggeration, infatuation, self-information. We get the payment, the 40 cases of preparation, that's how it is. With 6-0 James, plantation politics and capital gains, for the right price of fortune and fame, who be rapping in blackface for flinging a chain, go ahead and do the math, like squalls to splash, distortion overgraded to a platinum cap, after the cash,